Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Dr. Sufar Reef, and this is Real Talk for Real People, Intense Investigatory Archaeologist Show. And the reason being, because no good leader worth his salt never leads his troop without instructions. So that's why we do these studies. But before we get started in these studies, I simply like to say this. One simply must not lead by their mouths alone. Everybody got a mouth. Everybody got a tongue. Everybody can talk loud, but few can do something. Your action should be an example of your leadership, no matter what anybody else does. A good leader follows orders and instructions. And as you will see when we get started in our studies, what good leaders were, we once had. They didn't challenge authority and instructions. They simply followed them. And it worked that way for them. Unlike some of us, we choose to make orders of our own and implement those orders. They work out disastrous for us. It's true. See, a lot of people don't realize how examples can carry over much more than your mouths. Some people assume and suspect Yam Suf and Cartrio are simply just mouthpieces. Sure, we are spokespersons. But we try to set a standing example also. I cannot fail to mention the example Cartrio has set with me. And I suspect I have set some examples with him. By virtue of his example that he set with me in regards to my mother, in regards to how he comported himself in regards to other situations, and also Sister Abia in New York City has been exemplary in her examples. Although some may say she's just a young whippersnapper on the block, she's set more example in her search, in her dedication, in her humility, and following orders of the Most High than some have set throughout their lifetime in this quest. And sometimes, in setting an example, one must go against the grain, not of the Most High, but of most men and women, setting examples, following orders of the Most High. And you will find that out in our studies as we continue on. Sometimes you have to go against the grain of some people. Because, unfortunately, these people don't know how to follow orders. And because they don't follow orders, they cause contention and confusion. And they're simply all mouth, with no actions or examples set forth. To be good leaders in any quest, as I said, one must humble themselves and follow orders to the letter. And if you can't follow orders to the letter, you can't be any leader of any worth any salt, worth your weight in salt. As you can see, in live and living colors, these so-called imbeciles in this country, whom they call leaders, setting no example, just all mouth. You see, the despicable behavior of some of their spokespersons is in the case of Rudy Giuliani of New York City. Today, he was standing before a podium when the dye was running out of his hair and the lies was running out of his mouth. No setting example. And unfortunately, some of us choose that as a something exemplary. Not so in the case of Cartrio. Not so in the case of Avia, New York City. And certainly not so in the case of Yam Suf, Arit. We only follow one authority. And we follow it to the letter. And we try to set a fitting example. You may not like it, but it is what it is. That being said, before we get started, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, whom I hold in high regard and high esteem, Cartrell, from New York City. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, my brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Shalom, family. Shalom, brother Yamsuf Ari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May the Most High bless you.
And I hold you in high regard as well. You holding it down, brother. And we're trying to go through these studies to learn human nature, how we could conquer ourselves, because this is really a spiritual journey. In the Western world, they focused on the mental and the physical. This is the path to the Most High, the Creator. And with all our trials and tribulation, the real solution is in the spiritual realm with the Creator, as we see with the prophet Job, how he's maintaining and holding on until he gets an answer from the Most High despite what he's going through. And we should be of the same mindset as Job. But it's so beautiful that the Most High would give us a chance to reflect and talk about his word to get closer to him, because that's what we need in these moments in time when we exactly. see that the world is chaotic and there is no leadership in the world. And people are confused, people are afraid, and people have no direction. Many people are being misled. You see a lot of people dying. But our hope, our trust, our faith, our confidence is in the Most High, Yah, because his word is true. He said he's going to do this.
Exactly, Katria. And our prayers and condolences go out to some of those who have been affected by COVID-19. Under this so-called leadership that they call leadership. As I said, I'm going to be upfront about it. I don't hold it back. They're just simple imbeciles. I mean,
and
not only...
my man Giuliani under the bus.
Well, Giuliani...
he's from New York.
Yeah.
He's from New York. But you can see how spicy these European dudes are from New York. At least from the South, they let you know they hate you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas these spicy guys from New York, they slicksters, man. They play games. They play tricks. And you can see their tricks don't really work. I mean, Giuliani, he's a criminal, man.
Yeah.
Defending a criminal so-called president.
Yep. While he's in the bunker singing to the American people. Because I am telling you, I ain't going nowhere.
We'll see what happens on the 20th when the security forces will escort him out the building.
He's going to be holding to the door. And you don't love me. Showgirl.
You think they're going to have to drag him out?
Man, he's going to be singing that song. I'm telling you, Katria. I'm telling you, fellow student, he's going to be singing. Because you're going to love me.
Yasu, you know how much he's paying Rudy Giuliani and his crew?
Nothing.
He's paying them $20,000 a day.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Well, you know what? He's getting donations from his sycophants and accolades. So, you know, he's sending him donations, you know. So, you know, he just...
That ain't going to put no debt in that $400 million he owe in the next 4 years.
No, that's why he ain't trying to get up out of that office, because the Russians going to be looking for their money.
Yeah. Somebody looking for their money.
I thought you told us you're going to stay in the office. Oh, you got to pay us, Trump.
Vladimir Putin.
He grabbed Vladimir Putin. And we're going to pause you, Donald Trump. We know how to pause the people, Donald Trump. You cannot get away from us. Yeah. And I ain't sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for him. Reason being, 252,000 people. And a lot of them could have been saved if this guy had to do his job. No, I don't feel sorry for him. Go ahead, Country.
The prognosticators are saying that more is on the way. It's going to be it's out of control. Mm-hmm. But think about that. That's a lot of people. 252,000?
A lot of people, brother.
That's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
That's more than the wars they'll be fighting, man.
Exactly. Because I think it was only 58,000 in Vietnam. I can't remember the count in World War II. I think it was a whole lot. It was a whole lot in the so-called Civil War where they sipped tea and laughed at one another. It was rather civil and told jokes on the battlefield. How civil we are. What are we fighting for? Oh, we want to keep those doggone picket pennies. You know, you can understand. You guys in New York City and you have the industry. You want to keep those picket pennies because they're part of our economy. Have another cup of tea, okay? It was so civil, Cartier. So civil. You're right. It was cutting each other up, killing each other by the dozen. Go ahead, Cartier.
They got us playing the puppy game in the politics because they're telling you get out the vote. Our people went out there, long lines, hours at a time, and put their vote in. Now they're trying to throw those votes out.
Hey, I mean, if you don't know the history of this country, well, you would totally think they would keep them, now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, like they really count.
Like they really count. I mean, you 3/5 of a human being. Ain't nothing changing their perspective of you, okay? So don't get it twisted. They let your vote count when they want it to count. And if they don't want it to count, they'll take your vote away from you. You're 3/5 of a human being to them. And we're just going to keep it real. All
there
right.
It is. We in 2020, advanced technology. They shooting men to the moon, to Mars. They got satellites and all kind of crazy technology on the planet. But their spirit towards us has never changed.
Never changed. And it never will. All right. Get your books out. Thank you, Cartrell. And thank you, listeners, for listening to us while we digress. But let us get to the important object of our study. The 10th chapter of Shemot. Give you a few seconds to get there. And may the Most High bless you by the reading, studying, and most importantly, the application of His word in your life so you can set a setting example. Cartrell, you know, you was talking, when we were talking yesterday, you said, what were you cooking? I said, well, I'm cooking me some hamburger patties and some gravy and some biscuits and some rice. Now, I didn't eat it yesterday. I always like to let it sit over sometimes in the fridge. Man, I tell you what, brother, I'm Auntie Brother. I may not be Auntie Mammy, but I'm Auntie Brother. It was good, Godrill. I had to take a nap after that. I don't eat a whole lot because I put one patty and about 2 or 3 spoons of rice and 4 or 5 spoons of gravy and warmed it up and everything. And that was enough for me. I don't try to eat all that heavy anyway.
Anybody that can't cook for themselves is in bad shape.
Man, what you say?
If you don't like your own food, you're in trouble.
Man, I'm telling you, because you got to eat it. So you got to learn how to season your food. A lot of his brothers and sisters, and not about salt. It's about how to season without salt. You can make your food taste real tasty without salt, okay? And I didn't put a spick of salt because Cartrell schooled me on something. When I boil my rice, I use oil instead of salt. When I boil my eggs, oil instead of salt. When I boil my spaghetti, oil instead of salt. So we can always teach each other something. And it tastes rather good. Less salt. All right. Y'all got that? Let's get started. Then the Elohim said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his couriers. In order that I may display my signs among them. He's giving explicit orders. And that you may recount in the hearing of your sons and your sons' sons. I want you to be able to record this to your sons and your sons' sons. How I made a mockery of the Mizrenites. And how I displayed my signs among them, in order that you may know that I am the Elohim. So Moses and Aaron under their orders, went to Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus saith the Elohim, Yah of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourselves before me?"
To what?
How long before you refuse to humble yourselves before me?
You think Yah's waiting up on us to do the same thing?
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
He's asking the same question to us, brother.
Exactly. When will we get it? You cannot even start unless you become humble. You cannot even begin this travel without becoming humble. I'm not talking about humble to men, but humble to Yah. You can't even begin these travels and these studies without first submitting to the Most High. You can't even begin. You begin following orders.
But we like Pharaoh.
We've hardened. Unfortunately, Katria, that's true. "Let my people go that they may worship me. For if you refuse to let my people go tomorrow, I will bring locusts on your territory. They should cover the surface of the land so that no one will be..." Man, that's like a carpet. "No one will be able to see the land. They should devour the surviving remnant that was left to you after the hail. They should eat away all your trees that grow in the field. Moreover, they shall fill your palaces and the houses of your couriers and all the Mizrenites, something that neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen from the day they appeared on the earth to this day." With that, he turned and left Pharaoh's presence under orders.
Really?
Under orders. He didn't have to say no more. He didn't have to cuss Pharaoh. He had to name Pharaoh. He had to talk about Pharaoh. He followed instructions to the letter. And about
Most High giving Pharaoh deadline.
Deadline.
He said, "Tomorrow, let my people go."
Deadline. Hey, Most High get real with it, brother. Get jiggy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pharaoh's couriers said to him, "How long shall this be a snare to us? Let the men..." Yeah. I mean, they knew. "How long shall this be a snare to us? Let the men go worship Yah, their Elohim. Are you not yet aware that the rain is lost?" They even knew it for Pharaoh. "Man, we in big trouble, Pharaoh. Don't you even know we lost?" So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. And he wants to be a slick willy. He wants to be a Rudy Giuliani. And Pharaoh says to them, "Go worship Yah, your Elohim." Who are the ones to go? See, Yah had already instructed Moses. He counted him with saying, "Now who are the ones to go?" Moses replied,
"He's trying to negotiate."
Yeah. "We will all go, young and old.
Mm-hmm.
We will go with our sons, our daughters, our flocks,
mm-hmm.
our herds,
mm-hmm.
for we must observe the Elohim festival." But he said to them, "The Elohim will be with you the same as I mean to let your children go with you." Now, if I wanted to let your, he's going to go be with you anyway. So that's what Pharaoh was saying, clearly. And he said, "Reason why I don't want to really let your children go, because clearly you're bent on mischief. No, you men folk go and worship the Elohim, since that is what you want." And they expelled, and they were expelled from Pharaoh's presence. I mean, Pharaoh put his own ultimatum up. Now, I mean, you can worship the Elohim. I mean, without your children and with your wives and your flock, you don't need all that. And he said, "Y'all get on out of here."
Pharaoh trying to pull one like the Canaanites.
Exactly.
Y'all leave, and y'all can leave the women and the children behind. No, everybody got to come. We one family, one nation. We're not going to leave
right.
our women behind.
for y'all to ravage and mistreat and abuse and try to dominate and hurt. And the Elohim said to Moses, giving him instructions, hold your arm over the land of Mizraim for the locusts, for they may come upon the land of Mizraim and eat up all the grass in the land, whatever the hail has left. So Moses held out his rod over the land of Mizraim. And the Elohim drove. See, Moses didn't do nothing but what the Most High told him. The Elohim drove a east wind over the land all that day and all that night. And when morning came, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts invaded the land of Mizraim and settled within the territory of Mizraim in a thick mass. Never before had there been so many, nor will there ever be so again. They hid all the land from view. You couldn't even see the land. And the land was darkened. And they ate up all the grass of the field, all the fruits of the trees, which the hail had left, so that nothing green was left of trees or grass of the field in the land of Mizraim.
Ooh-wee.
I mean.
We've seen them locusts this year. They said they had hundreds of billions of locusts in East Africa. And if you could Google that, you could see how they cover the earth and eat up all, you know, the vegetation.
Yeah. Well, the Most High brings those locusts.
Yeah. All Moses had to do was raise his arms with that staff. And, you know, when you see a wizard, what you see him with?
A staff.
When you see a magician, what you see him with?
A staff or a stick.
Where do you think they got that from?
They got it from Moses.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All he had to do was raise his arms. He was like an antenna.
Exactly.
For Yah and the elements.
And all they had to do was follow instructions to the detail.
Uh-huh.
Don't take nothing away from it. Pharaoh hurriedly summoned Moses and Aaron and said, I said, there he go again, that Rudy Giuliani. I said, get them before Yah, your Elohim, and before you. Forgive my offense just this once. And plead with the Elohim, your Yah, that he may remove this death from me. So he left Pharaoh's presence and pleaded with the Elohim. And the Elohim caused a shift, not Moses. The Elohim caused a shift to a very strong west wind, which lifted up the locusts and hurled them into the sea of reeds. Not a single locust remained in the territory of Mizraim. But the Elohim stiffened Pharaoh's heart again, and he would not let the Israelites go.
So Moses showed Pharaoh mercy, because he could have said, nah, Pharaoh, I'm not going to Yah to entreat him until you let the people go. These locusts are staying here until you comply.
He showed him mercy and kindness. But Pharaoh, like those types, always try to take advantage of a situation. And he took advantage of a law and thought just because things are good now, things to get better. No, things didn't get better, they got worse. And that mindset, as Cartrell alluded to, these people don't change. They'll try to take advantage of the lull of things, but things doesn't change. They get worse.
And we can see there's a breakdown in communication between the leadership of Egypt, which is Pharaoh,
right,
and his own counselors. His counselors are like, yo, Pharaoh, can't you see that Egypt is destroyed? Let these people go.
What you keep holding on to them for? And then
you gotta prove something.
Exactly.
You gotta prove something. But it's similar to what we're seeing with the powers that be right now.
Yeah, I'm running something. I'm running something. I'm going to prove this to y'all. And Mr. Trump is not going to prove anything to anybody in the final analysis. Then the Elohim said to Moses, hold out your arms toward the sky, that there may be darkness on the land of the Mizraims. And a darkness that came, a darkness that can be touched. You can even touch it, it's so dark. Moses held out his arm toward the sky, and the thick darkness descended upon all the land of Mizraim for 3 days. The people could not see. It was so dark they couldn't see one another. And for 3 days, no one could get up from there, get up from where they was. But the Israelites enjoyed light, and they... Come on. It was so dark in misery, but in Goshen, they had sunshine. I found sunshine, but I found you. In the misery, the Israelites had sunshine, but the Miserites, man, it was so dark they couldn't even see one another. That's how dark.
Not only that, they could feel the darkness. You ever been in a place so dark that you could feel it?
In the darkness. That's how heavy the darkness was. This is just like in Sheol.
For 3 days. Oh,
yeah,
Lord.
For 3 days, man.
3 days is a long time.
And I'm sure they were.
How many hours is that?
That's 72 hours, my brother.
Okay.
72 hours.
So you could feel that darkness. That must have been frightening, son.
Man, come on now. 72 hours? It was terrifying.
Like, where's the sun?
Yeah.
You ain't seen the sun in 3 days? What's up with that?
I'm pretty sure the cattle and the animals were baying and whatnot. And the children, they were crying for their mamas, and the women were screaming. I mean, you can't imagine. Can you go close your eyes? Close your eyes for a minute, fellow students.
Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. Close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. Come on now, close your eyes. Can you? And it's darker than this. It's so dark, even with your eyes closed, it was darker than this. And you can't see nothing for 72 hours? Imagine that.
You know why y'all did that, right?
Enlighten us, Gadriel.
Because the Egyptians worshiped the sun.
That's right, that's right. They were the sun god, yeah. He took the sun. Yeah, he gave him a bit of darkness. And Pharaoh then summoned Moses and said, go worship the Elohim. Only your flocks and your herds shall be left behind. He is still at it. Even your children may go with you. But Moses said, you yourself must provide us with sacrifices and burnt offerings to offer up to the Elohim, Yah-I Elohim. He said, okay, all right. But you're going to provide the sacrifice. And even then, our own livestock too shall go with us. Okay. Since you want to play games, you're going to provide us with our sacrifice. And we still taking our stuff with us. Okay?
Most of the ante, huh?
Yeah. You're going to provide. Nor a hoof shall remain behind. For we must select from it for the worship of Yah-I Elohim. For we shall know with what we are to worship the Elohim until we arrive there.
Say what?
He said, we shall not know, okay, excuse me, let me correct that. We shall not know what we are to worship the Elohim until we don't even know what we're supposed to provide for him till we get there.
Which means? They wasn't worshiping the Most High while he's in bondage in Egypt.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't even know. They said, we don't even know, but I tell you what, we're going to take everything. And you're going to provide something too then. Since that's the way you feel about it, and we still going to take our stuff. Because we don't even know what the Most High going to require of us. So
my next question is, do we know now?
No, we don't know now. Because he ain't told you.
And do we have the livestock and the cattle and the herds that he's talking about right here? Do we have that?
Man, come on, man. Some
they have way more than we have. We ain't got flocks and herd and livestock.
Come on, bro.
Sacrifice to the Most High outside of foreign nations.
We got nothing in the refrigerator, okay? Some of us ain't even got meat in the refrigerator, okay?
Which is not acceptable. You're right about that. That's not funny.
Some of the most serious things said in jest, Cartier, but it's true. Let's be honest about it. You stop playing games, Cartier. And Pharaoh said to him, but the Elohim stiffened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not agree to let them go. And Pharaoh said to him, be gone from me. Take care not to see me again. For the moment you look upon my face, you will die. Contrary, I told y'all about words. Putting words out there. Contrary, I told y'all about words. Words are important. It's important to what you say and don't say it. And just like, you remember how Yaakov did when Laban came running behind him and threatened, said, hey, man, y'all stole my idol. And Laban know, Yaakov know he didn't get out like that. He said, come on, man, stop it. Ain't nobody did nothing like that in my family. And may they die if they did. And you know what happened to Rachel down the road. So he spoke this curse out his own mouth. At his own mouth. And Mose knew it. And this is what Mose said to him. And Mose replied, you have spoken rightly. I should not see your face again. You said what you said. I ain't gonna see you no more. See, that's, y'all gotta be careful when you're putting blessings and curses on folks. You don't know what's coming out your mouth, okay? Be careful when you're cursing people and whatnot. And, you know, and we say that all the time. Be careful in your word usage. Your words send out signals and vibrations. And sometimes the Most High heeds those signals and vibrations. And you can put a hurting on people simply by saying so. Okay? Be careful with that. Contrail, what say you, my brother and friend?
I say that you can't negotiate with the Most High. What the Most High wants, that's what the Most High going to get. If I were trying to negotiate and compromise the Most High, but the Most High will up the ante if you try to negotiate with him.
There's no negotiation. There's only following
orders. Better to comply than to try to negotiate with Yah. And
you
try to negotiate with Yah.
You're not going to win. So why make the futile attempt to win, Kachua? You're not going to win.
So, in light of the fact that you're not going to win, don't try to do it your way. We all have to do it Yah's way. Each and every one of us have to do it Yah's way, not our way, or what we feel or what we think, because this is what gets people in trouble.
Right.
So he could do it his way. Now he's all frustrated that it ain't going his way. Now he put the edict out. I don't want to see your face no more. Okay, you said it. So when Yah brings the plagues, don't call me to stop the plagues, right?
You said it. But he said, Kachi, you gonna die. You will die.
He making a threat to Moshe. Like, why you ain't kill him all this time? You causing my people problem. You done destroyed my nation. You should have been there to kill Moses. But do you really have the power to do that?
No, the Most High give it and the Most High take it away. Ain't nobody got the power to do anything unless the Most High loosen the hands upon someone.
So if I was Pharaoh, I would have been done kill Moses. What you talking about? Let your people go. Kill this guy. Grab him. Put him in a dungeon. Take his head off tomorrow.
Exactly. Now
I don't want to hear his mouth anymore.
As soon as you get him in the dungeon, take it on him and cut his mouth. You know, you Pharaoh, but apparently Pharaoh couldn't do anything. Pharaoh was restrained. And what he could do.
As a matter of fact, Moses, we was looking for you years ago, and you ran. You the fugitive we was looking for.
Exactly. We got one on you already, been waiting on you.
That's right. So pull out the warrant, throw him in the dungeon, and execute him tomorrow. But you think he could do that?
Apparently he couldn't, Godrell, because they certainly didn't
obviously
do it.
Not. That's right.
Apparently he couldn't.
That's the beauty of Yah, because Moses didn't need no army to go in there with him, did he?
He certainly didn't.
He didn't take the big boys from the nation in there to talk to Pharaoh, did he?
No, he didn't need all that.
Who he took?
He took
his older brother.
80-year-old and an 83-year-old guy.
Imagine that.
Yeah,
that's imagine. The mightiest thing on the earth.
And and he's probably going to do something of a similar nature. He don't need your help. He don't need nobody help. So some of us hadn't learned the lessons yet, Cartrell, unfortunately. Unfortunately.
That's why we're here now, brother. Trying to get all the lessons in right now.
Exactly.
And they should be here. Whoever ain't here.
Exactly. All right, let's continue on in our study, shall we? Turn to the 38th chapter of Job. And the Most High is finna get ready to reveal himself to Job, his omnipotent. His omnipotence. He's going to break it down to Job like he's 4 years old. And Job ain't going to have two words to say. I put my hand over my mouth. Oh, Lord. Good. Y'all got me.
That word is potent.
Omnipotent. Omnipotent. Potent. Omnipotent.
Yeah. You know what potent substances are.
Yeah, potent. Yeah, potent. It's potent. Yeah. If it's potent, it's powerful.
Yeah. And omni means all.
Right.
All powerful.
Omnipotent. Okay, yes. The Most High is all powerful. And he's finna break it down to Job like he's 4 years old. And us too, if we're inclined to listen and humble ourselves. May the Most High bless you by this investigatory study of his word. And thus, after the investigation, the application. Then the Elohim answered Job out of the whirlwind and said.
So, Elihu saw this whirlwind coming. That's why he switched his dialogue, didn't he?
Elihu wasn't no fool. He saw something in the distance.
He turned his whole topic from being so focused on Job, he looked up and saw the lightning and the thunder. He shifted his focus to the glory of the Most High.
And he humbled himself and got some guidance. And the Most High spoke out of that whirlwind and said, who is this who darkened counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. Man up. I will question you. And you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined the measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched out the line upon it? To what were its foundation fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of Yah shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with the doors, when it birthed forth, issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, and thick darkness in its swaddling band. When I fixed my limit for it, and set bars and doors. When I said, this far you may come, but no farther. And here your proud ways must stop. To Job he says, again, have you commanded the morning since your days began? Suggesting to Job, I have. And caused the dawn to know its place, that it may take hold of the ends of the earth. And the wicked be shaken of it. It takes on form like clay under a seal. It stands out like a garment. For the wicked, their light is from the wicked, their light is withheld. And their upraised arm is broken. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Gates, not one gate, gates. Have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light and darkness? Where is this place that you may take it to his territory, that you may know the path to his home? Do you know? Because You were born then. Now, he just meddling with it. So you must know because you were born then.
Well, check it. He's talking about, he said, do you know where the dwelling of light comes from? And then
right.
he asked about the darkness. He said, and darkness, where its place, where is its place?
Right.
And we just read, the Most High brought darkness from his place and placed it where? On Egypt for 72 hours to the
exactly.
point where they could feel it.
He could bring it out of his place when he, if he get ready. And then he's meddling Job and saying, do you know, because you were born then, I mean, you must know because you was born then. Because
that,
of the
that wasn't a man. That was the Most High talking to Job.
Yeah, I know it. He's meddling Job in a sense, like he's ridiculing him. So, because do you know it? Because you were born in, obviously.
Well,
because
the Most High got this scenario going on.
Yeah.
Because they got this brilliant dialogue going on, and don't none of them know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
So the Most High, like to Job, I got questions for you.
Right.
And the questions that he's asking, he knows Job can't answer.
None of those questions.
Right? Job can't answer none of the questions that y'all are firing at him.
I mean,
which is to say that what gives man the right to question the Most High?
That's what I'm
you
saying.
Can't answer my question. What gives you the right to ask me questions
exactly.
about what I do?
Bingo, you win the golden teddy bear, Cartrell. And he says, are because the numbers of your days is too great? Have you entered the treasury of the snow? Have you seen the treasury of hail? We talked about the hail. We talked about that hail. Okay. Hail is sitting in the treasury. Have you reserved, which I have reserved for the time of trouble?
Uh-oh, they're coming again.
For the day of battle and war. I got this in reserve. But do you know what's that, Joe? You don't. By what way is light diffused? How can you turn out the light, Joe? Are the east wind scattered over the earth? I use that east wind to bring no locusts on misery. Okay? On the east wind. Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water? Or a path for the thunderbolt? To cause it to rain on a land where there is no one. A wilderness in which there is no man. To satisfy the desolate waste. And cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass. Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten? Yep, Yah. Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb come the ice? And the frost of heaven. Who gives it birth? And the waters harden like stone. And the surface of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the clay? He's not even to go up into the heavens. Can you bind the cluster of Peleus? Or loosen the belt of Orion? Can you bring out the Bozarot, the constellations, in its season? Or can you guide the great bear with his cubs? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set the dominion over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send out lightning that they may go and say to you, here we are.
The lightning talks to Yah.
Exactly. And here's the beauty of it. Here's the beauty of it. You can't get it from a college. You can't get it from a high school education. You can't get it from your mama. You can't get it from your daddy. You can't get it from Yom Suf. You can't get it from Cartrell. But who give it to you? Who has put wisdom in the mind? Or who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can pour out the waters of heaven when the dust hardens and clumps and the clod cleans together? Can you hunt to prey for the lion Uh-huh. Satisfy the appetite of the young lions?
Uh-huh.
When they crouch in their dens or lurk in their lairs to lie in wait? Who provides food for the raven when his young one cries to Yah and wonders about for lack of food? I do all this. But do you know, Joe? Do you know, my brothers and sisters? If you don't know, now you know that you ain't got no reason to question Yah's instructions under no consideration to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, and when you want to do it, and think that's going to suffice. Now I'm roaring for you now, baby. Can you hear me roar? You ain't got no right to question Yah, to lean on your own understanding, to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, and you think that's going to work. That ain't never worked for us, and it never is going to work for us. And those that's trying to do it need to stop it and humble yourself and learn to follow instructions. The Most High gives instructions. You don't need to do no more than follow it. Now hear me roar. Cardrilla, what say you, my brother?
I say this is a very important chapter in the Old Testament because this chapter outlines the fact that there is no human being ever born that can answer these questions that Yah put to Job.
Exactly.
No man that was born in the past, no man born in the present, and no man born in the future unless Yah reveals the answer on how he did it.
Right? Exactly. They can speculate. They can make an assumption. But these scientists don't know what the hell they're talking about.
They only scratching the surface of what Yah is talking about here.
Exactly.
And the fact that Yah, one important verse you said, who has put wisdom in the mind? And who has given understanding to the heart? See, Yah does that. We don't do it. Yah puts wisdom in the hearts and minds of people that deserve it. It's not just given willy-nilly, randomly. You have to earn wisdom and understanding. As we read in Proverbs 8, right?
Yeah.
You got to pursue her. It's a discipline that you have to follow. You have to seek her earnestly and find her, right? And when you do, Yah puts her in your heart and in your mind. People think that knowledge is wisdom and understanding, but it's not. They mistake that. Knowledge is not wisdom and understanding. You can have all the knowledge in the world and be a fool.
We see that, Katria, every day.
Yeah.
We see it. They got knowledge, but they ain't got wisdom and understanding. They're nothing but fools.
So Yah let you know, he gave us dominion over the earth, right?
Exactly.
But he's the one that feeds all living on earth, whether it be the lion. You can't provide for no lion.
No.
Unless you put it in the zoo and they wind up dying off.
Yeah. And that's not just good nourishment for the lion just sitting in a cage and you feeding it.
Locked up all day.
Yeah.
That's not how he was meant to live.
No.
So Yah provides for the lion, and trust me, they eat a lot of food, don't they?
Go in that cage, you'll find out how much to eat.
In about a half hour. <He's gone. laughs>
Have you be gone for noontime.
But he also provides for every bird creature that's on the earth. He just singles out the raven. He said, who provides food for the raven?
Right.
But listen to this. When its young ones cry to Elohim, did you know baby birds cry to the Most High?
If he said it, I could. Okay?
Yeah. And the lions know that Yah feeds them.
Because look at Katria. They ain't talking to no scientists. That's for certain.
They trying to kill scientists that's trying to kill them.
Look here.
Put their head on the wall and make a rug out of them.
Well, yeah, because one day I came home and I pulled in the driveway and I saw this cat skidding in next door and was ducking and can all. Them birds were swooping on him like dive bombers. He did something he had no business.
Yeah. Well, cats are natural born hunters.
Right.
So you get a little kitty cat, you ain't got to teach him how to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And you got mice in your house, that little kitty cat, when he grow up, He gonna kill every mouse in your house.
Exactly.
How he know how to do that? They call it intuition.
Nah, because y'all done trained him. Y'all done taught him what he's supposed to do. He know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have that capability too, but we don't know how to tap into it.
Right.
Because everything we're supposed to know is within inside of us, just like in nature. What they call nature, I don't call it nature, I call it creation. People call
right.
it nature as if it has an independent spirit, does what it wants to do. But we see that Yah commands the wind, he commands the snow. He got chambers for the hell, for the day of judgment. Oh, Lord. Them bombs
right.
dropping with fire. How you going to stand under that?
Exactly.
So Yah is dropping some clues in this chapter. And the one in particular that all human beings should pay attention to is where he says, have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? We haven't seen Yah go to war yet. We've seen him pass judgment, but Yah is getting ready to go to war. So
seems like he's saddling up right now.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And coming in a whirlwind,
mm-hmm.
trust me, you got to back up and back down when you come with the whirlwind.
Man, for
I'll
sure.
Who you are. And when he sends that east wind out, trust me, what can humans do? We like dust. We like
Nothing.
Grass before Yah. That's why I told Pharaoh, humble yourself before me. Not just Pharaoh, all kings of the earth, but Israel especially. That's our biggest challenge. That's the biggest command. It's a simple command. Humble yourself.
Right.
Like,
but you know what? But think about it, Cartrell. If that east wind was always going about, I mean, the world would be messed up. But see, the east wind goes out when the Most High lets it out, till it come out that gate. And it does what the Most High says, and the Most High it sends it back. You know what I mean?
You know when it come out?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, my brother.
It lets it out in September through November. They call it hurricane season.
Exactly.
Those winds come from the east, baby.
The east
and
wind.
He sent a whole lot of them this year.
Yeah, he certainly did.
Yep.
He certainly did, Cartrell.
He left that east wind do his thing this year. Let it loose.
Yeah, he let her out quite a lot this year. Quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. And why it come from the east? Ain't that kind
of
strange?
Or
is it coincidence? Or is it true?
That's the way he It could have came from the west, but he said it come from the east, because that's what he wanted. And that's just that on that. We don't question the Most High. If he said it coming from the east, that's good enough for me.
And that's where they come from. The west coast of Africa, east to America.
Exactly.
It takes the slave trade route. But
mm-hmm.
that east wind is worldwide. It ain't just off the coast of Africa, because Yah stirs up locusts with the east wind. And that's amazing.
Just imagine if the east wind stirred up locusts in the so-called land they call Africa. They could ride that wind all the way to America.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Ride the eye of the storm.
Yeah.
The eye of the storm is calm, right?
Right. It's calm.
You ever see inside the eye of the storm?
It's calm inside the eye.
You ever see inside the eye of the storm?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's calm.
They showed these planes riding in the eye of the storm, and all kind of birds ride in the eye of the storm.
It's taking them.
Yeah, but they stay in the center where it's calm until it dissipates, and then they fly out.
And that's what them locusts do. They ride in the center of the storm.
Amazing.
Amazing. Yeah, most-
asking, how does all this work? You think a man put all this together? A human being? We read yesterday where he said man can't even stare at the sun, look at the sun for long, much less create it.
I can't be able to stare at it long. Not with the naked eye.
Yah talks about the constellations. The constellations, right?
Right.
That's something we don't think about, because Western science and trying to analyze Yah and answer these questions that Yah is talking about, they tell you that you can't burn anything in a vacuum, right?
Right.
But they tell you that space is a vacuum, right?
You can't have it both ways, Kadriel.
Right. If space is a vacuum, why do stars burn? They're light and
exactly.
fire in a vacuum.
They can't prove that.
Right. So what are they talking about? In the vacuum of space, you're seeing a miracle. If you're seeing that there's no air and there's no way for fire to burn, but we see billions and trillions of stars.
They don't know what
in the vacuum
about.
Of space.
They don't know. And they're just
right
on that. And they won't even humble
exactly.
themselves. We don't know what we're talking about. We
and anything you burn burns out, right? So stars are fire. Stars
right.
are gas. Why don't they burn out? Anything you burn burns out.
So the Most High set them in three plates. And he said, don't burn out.
Right. Made them everlasting.
Right.
It's amazing. And we better pray that the sun don't go out, because
we
when that go out, see this ice and frozen stuff, that's where we'll be.
We're going to be
the ice and the frozen.
We're going to be popsicles.
Without no light. With that thick darkness you could feel.
It's going to be so cold. Y'all don't know what cold is. New York ain't cold. Chicago ain't cold. Let that sun go out.
And darkness?
Yeah.
That you could feel? You
Man.
Can't see a hand in front of your face or the person
you
right next to you?
And you can't find no wood. Because can't nothing grow. You just going to be
fine wood.
You're going to be in real big trouble. Cadrell.
Yes, sir. Not just wood, but food and water and shelter.
Yeah.
You in the dark.
The sun affects everything.
Oh yeah. No question.
So no animals, no wood, no nothing.
Most I showed Pharaoh he had control of it when he put him in that darkness, didn't he?
He certainly did.
72 hours. That's incredible.
72 hours of darkness.
And you know when they don't sun, it's cold too.
Yeah, it got cold.
They must have been freezing.
Yeah, they weren't used to that. But now, the Israelites had it good.
Yep. Imagine that.
Yeah, they were in sunshine.
How did y'all pull that off?
I don't know. I'm
well,
the other side. And nobody else knows. But he did it. You better believe it. He did it.
Can he do it again?
He can do whatever he want to do, when he want to do it, now he want to do it.
All right, now. He said he got them hells stored up in his treasure for the day of battle. So
he
ain't done yet.
And he got some head busters, too.
Oh, yeah. Man, I'm playing.
He got a fellow taking name, and he got some head busters.
Yep.
Okay.
And they fulfill their mission.
Man, hey, they don't want to hear no conversation. If you ain't on the list, fire. They don't want to rap. They ain't come to hear no plea bargain. You ain't on that
no
list. Ain't no negotiation. Headbusters ain't nothing to play. But if
mm-hmm.
you separate, you better get yourself right. It's the only thing I can tell you. All right, Cartrell, my brother, my friend. My confidant.
Yes.
I know you have another lovely Psalms, and we're of the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we're all ears, because we need to know all we need to know and then some.
Yes, sir. This is more than just a lovely song. This is one of the most powerful Psalms that is in the book of Scripture. Psalms 91 is a psalm by the prophet Moshe, who we're reading about his story, his life, his connection with the Most High. The 91st Psalm is the psalm that my mother told me that I should always use if I had adversaries that tried to hurt me. She told me to pray this psalm and imagine a white circle around your adversary, and the Most High will answer your prayer. I thought my mother was bugging out. until I tried it. And it's a spiritual prayer that works. So if you have adversaries of trouble, people that are pressing you, imagine a circle around them and read this prayer. A prayer by the prophet Moshe. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yah, He is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim. In Him I will trust." And you can't just say these words, because we see Pharaoh. He was saying words, "I'm sorry, I sinned, I apologize, I won't do it again." And he went right back to doing what he was doing. And Yah distanced himself. He didn't warn him as much as he did before. And he brought further and harsher judgment upon him. When you speak these words have to be real. Do we really trust in Yah? Is Yah really your refuge? Is He really your fortress? And if not, you better make Him your refuge, your fortress, and put your trust in Him. It says, "Surely I will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wing you shall take refuge." That's where we should be right now, with the plagues and the pandemic that's running around. Yah should be your refuge. "His troops shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness." So we're seeing pestilence present throughout the world. They call it COVID-19. What's the word? Corona. That's the pestilence that's walking in darkness, snatching people's lives. 250,000 in America, 250,000 people in America alone. "Nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. He says 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall look, and you shall see the reward of the wicked." Are we witnessing the reward of the wicked with 250,000 people dying in America? Maybe so. "Because you have made Yah, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place." Have we done that yet? Are we waiting to do that? Are we skeptical? Is Yah your refuge? Is Yah your dwelling? If the answer is, "I don't know, no, you better get with it. The Most High said, "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." And my sister-in-law, she caught the COVID, and her family took her right into the epicenter in New Rochelle, where it first broke out in New York. And I told my Isha, "You better pray for your sister, the Most High, bring her up out of there, because she's in the epicenter and she caught it, and she got certain pre-existing conditions." And my sister, my Isha, sent the word out for prayer for her sister. And lo and behold, a week later, the Most High brought her up out of there. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
"For He shall give His angels charge over you." We can't see these angels, these headbusters like you're talking about. Did them people see the headbusters and the one who was taking name? Yam Suf?
Yep.
The people saw them? They didn't see the see the angels, bro.
No, they couldn't see the headbusters.
The people in Sodom and Gomorrah saw the headbusters and thought they were men.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's something different. The people thought they were men. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Headbusters. But trust me, the Most High has His angels protecting us, like with Jacob. Jacob saw the angel was protecting him. He wanted to fight him.
Exactly.
And they're there to keep you in all your ways. Your ways should be the ways of Yah. So to keep you where? In Yah's dwelling place, under Yah's refuge, in Yah's fortress. That's where you're supposed to be, where they maintain you. If you're outside that zone, they may not be protecting you. It says, to keep you in all your ways, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has sent His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Most High talking now. Those who set their love upon Yah, which is what He's saying, Because you have set your love upon me, says Yah, O Yisrael, therefore I will deliver you. I will set you up on high, because you know my name. You shall call upon me, and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. Did we just read about trouble in Job? Yes.
Exactly.
I will deliver him and honor him. I will, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. But there's a condition, right? You got to take the antidote. You got to make Yah your shelter, your refuge, your dwelling. And you have to love Yah, right? What did it say? So I will say to Yah, he's my refuge, my fortress, and in him will I trust. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. How many of us really love Yah? Or do we know to love Yah? If you don't know to love Yah, you better find out how to love Yah. And I love Yah because I know that Yah's word is true. And my prayers to Yah, he hears my prayers and delivers me out of my troubles, each and every one of them. So I'd make that testimony and testify to this day that since I called on Yah, he does answer me, and he does send his angels to guard, shield, and protect me. I give a little testimony. I was afraid of heights when I was young. My friends used to, like, what they call building hop. They would jump from one building to another, but the buildings were close. I would never do that. I wouldn't even go to the edge of the building. Long story short, the Most High had me conquer my fear of heights by getting into construction. So the buildings that they would jump across was like 5 stories, 6 stories, the highest. Here it is, my career. I wound up working in buildings 80, 90, 100, 110 stories high. So one building I was on, 7 World Trade Center, which was attacked in line 11, they put me on the outside edge of a building on the 44th floor in building number 7. And I had a conversation with the Most High. I said, yeah, how am I going to do this as a career with my fear of heights? And Yah, sure enough, said, I got you. I got you. Which is what he usually tells me, I got you. And when I hear that voice, I'm real short. And I worked construction for 34 years, walking over elevator shafts, the edge of buildings without walls, high stories without floors, putting the floors in. And that fear was gone. I give thanks and praise to Yah that he does hear my voice and hear my prayers and helps me when I need him.
Exactly. Well, that applies to everybody, Cartrell.
Everybody. I don't know about that.
Well,
I don't know if people rely on him like I do.
Well, it applies to those that commit themselves to him and love him. I mean, he hears them. And if he wants you to do something, you'll be able to do it. If he want to do something for you, he'll do it. You got to pray for a new thinker first and foremost. You got to pray for a new thinker. You got to get a new thinker first and foremost. One that loves the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and thirst after righteousness, and apply yourself. And lead.
You
got to
be walking in that path of righteousness like King David.
Exactly.
For Yah's name's sake.
Exactly. And humble yourself. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Stop getting into it for the wrong reason and get into it for the right reason. That's because you want to follow Yah. And that's what, and if you have that concept about it, you're on right territory. But if you just get into it for some self-adulation for the wrong reasons, you're not going to get any answer. You got to get into it for the right reason because you got your new thinker. You know you got to love the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and the thirst after righteousness. And righteousness means everything. Justice and righteousness in every regard. And you can't sit back sometimes when you see injustice. And sometimes you got to fill in the gaps when others aren't filling in the gaps. And you got to speak the truth to people. And you ain't got to cuss a fight with folks. Simply got to speak the truth, and they won't accept it, fine. If they don't, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make it drink. Just keep it moving. But keep setting an example not simply by lip service like a lot of us have subscribed to, Cartrell. They subscribe to a whole lot of lip service, but they're poor as far as their examples are concerned. And I'm not saying they got to be perfect. You got to work. Like I said, this is a work in progress, and it takes every day to work on oneself. If you work on oneself to govern oneself, to subdue oneself, to humble oneself, you can go a mighty long way. But if you try to control everything and everyone else, and you even try to subdue and conquer yourself, your pride, your anger, your self-righteousness, your tongue, it won't suffice you anything. And so that's why we said when we do these studies, you got to be real about it, because it won't have any effect on you if you're not real about it. I don't know if you're real about it. You know, I can only know what Yam Suf thinking. Only you can know what you're thinking. And if you know you're not real about it, you need to get real about it, as Cartrell said.
Well, I would say that the story of Job gives us a lot of reflection, a lot of meditation, just to think about what he went through. Because he had to stand firm and hold fast on what was inside of him, his spiritual side. The chapter that we read tonight, the fact that the Most High started speaking to him was like a breath of fresh air. You know what I'm saying? Because all this time he waited for Yah to come and speak to him. And Yah does come and does speak to him. So even though it seems like Yah is admonishing him, he's so happy that Yah is there conversing with him, verifying his relationship with Yah, that Yah would answer him when he called upon him, validation of his stance that he took while these men were browbeating him, basically. So we have to be of the same heart, the same mind, that with all the troubles and trials and tribulation that we go through, and we see Yah's hand, you know, in our daily lives when he delivers us out of trouble, know, assure you that when the big trouble comes, he's going to deliver us out of the big trouble. Just like he did Lot, Noah, and children of Israel coming out of Egypt. He'll hear our cry in that time of need.
Exactly, Cartrell. Exactly.
Because we're going to cry, that's for sure. We're going to cry. We think we hard. We think we bold. We think we bad. We think we mighty. We think we people of valor. Most I said, every man is going to be like a woman in travail when he comes. So prepare yourself.
Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself.
That's what we're trying to do.
This is just like boot camp, Cartrell.
No doubt.
Sort of like boot camp. We're trying to prepare you. A spiritual boot camp. And we're trying to prepare you. Now, that being said, Cartrell and I can provide you with every tool in your knapsack. But if you don't take nothing out of that knapsack, I mean, what can we do about that? You can't say Yam Suf and Cartrell, they didn't provide me with anything. Yes, we did. You just didn't pick up anything and you didn't apply anything. And so you saw no result, other result of it, the non-application. So you can't say we didn't supply any of that.
And we referring you to King David, like we say, we want to be like King David, give us a new mind, new heart. And everybody knows his 23rd Psalm, and his mindset was what? Yah is my shepherd. I shall not what? Want. Right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness, not for me, but for his name's sake. So we can walk through the valley of shadow of death and fear no evil. Why? Because Yah is with us. You got to know that. That's his mindset. That should be your mindset. It ain't Yam Suf is my shepherd. Ambassador Abraham is my shepherd. My father is my shepherd. No, the Most High Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is all of our shepherd. And we should be following him, listening to him, obeying him. Otherwise, we're going to be devoured by the beasts that seek to take our lives.
Truth be told, Cartrell. Truth be told.
What's up?
Well, thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, students, for joining with us in our studies. And most important, we pray that you apply these studies, because it does you no good if you don't apply the studies. And so you can glean everything through the application of the said studies. And Cartrell, I want to thank you. You have any closing remarks before we get out of here?
The command is to humble ourselves. We got to find our way to humility and then to the path of righteousness, because that's the formula that we see that works. We see that the Most High did eventually come to Job. He didn't come when Job wanted him, in the midst of the battle, in the heat of the battle, when he was going all through it, and Yah didn't come and resolve his problems, but he stuck it out, and Yah eventually came and rewarded him for his efforts, because he was being tested, and we're all being tested, just like Job, whether we realize it or not. And what is Yah looking for? He's looking for that wisdom and understanding that's supposed to be in our hearts and our minds. And we should be applying ourselves to wisdom and understanding. So that's what Yah is looking for.
Exactly. All right, brothers and sisters. We got through another study session, and tomorrow is family night. And we're going to get through that study session if the Most High is willing. And we pray that the Most High bless you, that your steps be directed and ordered, and you stop leaning to your own understanding, because you have to stop that. Because it's not working for you. You know it's not working for you. And you know it's working against you. Stop leaning to your own stop doing what you want to do. Seek the Most High first and foremost in any day and every day. And then you're going to be on solid ground. All that other stuff, stop it. And keep on doing the right thing and keep on the right path with us, okay? May you be blessed. We love you. And shalom.
Everybody gather around and listen to my song. I've only got one. We who are young should now take a stand. Don't run from the burdens of women and men. Continue to give, continue to live for what you know is right. Most of your life can be out of sight. Withdraw from the darkness and look to the light. For everyone's free, at least that's the way it's supposed to be. We just
keep on keeping on.
One thing I insist, when you have your young, remember this song. And our world surrounding is leaps and bounds, ups and downs, is reality. Teach them to be strong, and when they are grown, they can proudly imply that we were an all right guy. For all the wrong now is right, this nation's people are now united as one. And we just
keep on keeping on.
We just
keep on keeping on.
Many things that we have learned, but they too will soon admit that they're still alive. Keeping on, y'all. Keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. We got to move on up, y'all. Keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. We'll be right back. back, I remember doing my life so well. My mama made this one more clip, and I found it never failed. Never wear it too long,
and
I was so wrong.
I was so wrong.
Today it's all
right.
Keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on.